There's a lot of press about choline and the importance of consuming eggs to get enough of this nutrient. Can vegans get sufficient choline?
Well, it's true that choline, I think choline was deemed an essential nutrient in 1998. So this is just, we've only known about choline and its importance for a relatively short time. And vegans do consume less than omnivores because although choline is pretty much distributed throughout the food supply, animal foods are the most concentrated sources, like, eggs particularly, but things like meat and fish and liver and poultry are all concentrated as well. And choline is important for brain function. It's important for fat metabolism. It's important for the functioning of our cell membranes because it is needed to form the primary phospholipid in cell membranes. And it's used to make neurotransmitters, and so it's really important nutrient. And we actually don't have an RDA for choline, which is a recommended dietary allowance. We just have an AI, which is like a best guess. It's called an acceptable intake, because we actually don't have enough information to establish an RDA. So the AI is 550 milligrams for men and 425 for women, although that does increase during pregnancy and lactation. It's 450 during pregnancy and 550 during lactation. But very few people actually meet the AI for choline. I would guess 90% of people don't meet it. And that those numbers, I'm not sure exactly where they came from, but there was one study that was done showing that we could get deficiency with less than 50 milligrams. And a lot of experts think probably 300 milligrams would be enough for most people, which is much easier to achieve than 400 or 500 milligrams. So, we probably, if we're pregnant, would be wise to take a supplement with choline, just to be on the safe side, because birth defects have been associated with low choline intake. But otherwise, I think just having a varied diet, including some really good sources of choline, like soy products. Just a cup of soy milk is about 57 milligrams. And that's even higher than dairy milk. Quinoa, broccoli, Brussels sprouts, there are quite a few foods that are, decent sources. And so, you could effectively get 150 milligrams from one meal if it contained things like quinoa and broccoli and tofu. So you could come pretty close to that AI, but if you're around the 300, I actually wouldn't worry about it too much, other than if you're pregnant, I would really try to aim for the AI.
Do you recommend vitamin D supplements for adults?
Absolutely. I recommend them for both adults and children. There are some people who can make enough vitamin D by getting sufficient exposure to warm sunshine year round, and maintain good vitamin D status. But they're far and few in between. The vast majority of people in the world don't get enough vitamin D from sunshine, and so they need to get some from food. If you live, where I do in Calgary, this morning it was minus 40 in Calgary. We're not making any vitamin D between about October and probably March or April. So we need to have a source, and food can be a source. But there aren't a lot of food sources. You think fish and eggs, not a lot of, there's a little bit of vitamin D in mushrooms that are grown in sunshine, but there are not a lot of vitamin D sources in foods unless the foods are fortified with vitamin D, as cow's milk is, as non-dairy milks are. So you can get some from that. But for most adults, I think it makes absolute sense to aim for 1,000 to 2,000 IUs a day. However, it's kind of good to know where you're at. So to have a vitamin D test to see where your levels are at, and I've had a number of friends who have done that and found that their levels were just so low, they were absolutely shocked. And Michael Hollick, who's probably the leading expert on vitamin D, actually suggests 2,000 to 3,000 IUs a day for adults, and at least 2,000 for women, and 1,000 for children. So that's, that's something to consider. I think to guarantee sufficiency, you probably should be doing it on a daily basis. And for people who are severely overweight or obese, they may actually require more. So they should kind of monitor their status. I think we know enough at this point that we can say with some confidence that vitamin D supplements are a very reasonable thing to do.
Should pregnant women take DHA? Are supplemental DHA and EPA recommended for others?
My opinion is yes. And the reason I say that is simply because vegans, the level of EPA and DHA in their blood and tissue tends to be about a third, to a half of what it is for omnivores. And we do know that higher levels are associated with, retinal function and brain development and so forth, that we need this stuff. And yes, we convert more efficiently during pregnancy and lactation, but our levels are still low, and we don't know what's ideal, to be honest. We don't. But it still makes sense to me to say, 300 milligrams a day of DHA and EPA with at least 200 milligrams of DHA for during pregnancy. And I would say that, if you look at fish eaters, people that are getting, twice a week fish intake, their levels do tend to be higher. And we can achieve that very same thing by getting our DHA and EPA from the same source the fish get it. And the fish get EPA and DHA from mainly microalgae in the ocean, which are little tiny plants in the ocean. And we're now culturing and producing this stuff without having to rape the ocean of fish, without having to kill millions and millions of fish. And the bonus is that the microalgae-based EPA DHA is not contaminated with heavy metals or environmental contaminants the way, of course, fish are. And so should other people take it as well? I just don't see a big downside to doing that. I don't take it every day myself, but I probably take it 2 or 3 times a week. And I think a reasonable amount is 200 or 300 milligrams. So that's that.